Chapter 16, Relationships with Others. Community. We must not build a wall between ourselves and the world. Our greatest necessity is a pure, clean heart and an understanding mind. All kinds of malicious falsehoods were circulated against Christ, and they will be circulated against God's commandment-keeping people. How shall we prove these to be false? Shall be by building up a wall between us and the world? Christ's prayer answers this point: I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. While our work is aggressive, it must be conducted on Bible principles. All our enterprises are to be carried forward with Christ-like simplicity, patience, forbearance, and love for God and for Christ. Our work is to convince, not to condemn. The human beings around us possess like infirmities with ourselves. Do not denounce other denominations. When some who lack the Spirit and power of God enter a new field, they commence denouncing other denominations, thinking that they can convince the people of the truth by presenting the inconsistencies of the popular churches. It may seem necessary on some occasions to speak of these things, but in general it only creates prejudice against our work and closes the ears of many who might otherwise have listened to the truth. If these teachers were connected closely with Christ, they would have divine wisdom to know how to approach the people. Ministers should not create schisms by fighting battles in the political world. Those who stand as educators, as ministers, as laborers together with God in any line, have no battles to fight in the political world. Their citizenship is in heaven. The Lord calls upon them to stand as separate and peculiar people. He would have no schisms in the body of believers. His people are to possess the elements of reconciliation. Is it their work to make enemies in the political world? No, no. They are to stand as subjects of Christ's kingdom, bearing the banner on which is inscribed the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They are to carry the burden of a special work, a special message. We have a personal responsibility, and this is to be revealed before the heavenly universe, before angels, and before men. God does not call upon us to enlarge our influence by mingling with society, by linking up with men on political questions, but by standing as individual parts of His great whole, with Christ as our head. Christ is our prince, and as His subjects we are to do the work appointed us by God. Clergy of other denominations. God's servants are to approach the ministers of other denominations. More work should have been done for those in high places. Those who give the last message of mercy to a fallen world are not to pass by the ministers. God's servants are to approach them as those who have a deep interest in their welfare, and then plead for them in prayer. If they refuse to accept the invitation, tell the master about it, and then your duty is done. Pray for and with ministers of other denominations. Our ministers should seek to come near to the ministers of other denominations. Pray for and with these men, for whom Christ is interceding. A solemn responsibility is theirs. As Christ's messengers, we should manifest a deep, earnest interest in these shepherds of the flock. It takes moral courage for a minister to step out for the Sabbath. It requires moral courage to take a position to keep the commandments of the Lord. An opposer of the truth once said that it was only weak-minded people, foolish, ignorant persons, who would turn away from the churches to keep the seventh day as the Sabbath. But a minister who embraced the truth replied, "If you think it takes weak-minded persons, just try it. It takes moral courage, firmness, decision, perseverance, and very much prayer to step out on the unpopular side." Ministers of other denominations, if truly converted to our message, will be polished instruments in the hands of God. Much has been lost by our people through the following such narrow plans that the most intelligent, better educated classes are not reached. Too often the work has been so conducted as to impress unbelievers that it is of very little consequence. Some stray offshoot of religious enthusiasm, entirely beneath their notice. Much has been lost for want of wise methods of labor. Every effort should be made to give character and dignity to the work. It requires much wisdom to reach ministers and men of influence. But why should they be neglected as they have been by our people? These men are responsible to God just in proportion to the talents entrusted to them. Where much is given, much will be required. Should there not be deeper study and much more prayer for wisdom, that we may learn how to reach these classes? Should not wisdom and tact be used to gain these souls, who, if truly converted, will be polished instruments in the hands of God to reach others? People of other cultures. Those close to Christ are lifted above color or caste. He who is closely connected with Christ is lifted above the prejudice of color or caste. His faith takes hold of eternal realities. The divine author of truth is to be uplifted. Our hearts are to be filled with the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The work of the Good Samaritan is the example that we are to follow. When the Holy Spirit moves, all prejudice will be melted away and we will approach God as one brotherhood. When the Holy Spirit moves upon human minds, all petty complaints and accusations between man and his fellow man will be put away. The bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will shine into the chambers of the mind and heart. In our worship of God there will be no distinction between rich and poor, white and black. All prejudice will be melted away. When we approach God, it will be as one brotherhood. We are pilgrims and strangers, bound for a better country, even a heavenly. There all pride, all accusation, all self-deception, will forever have an end. Every mask will be laid aside, and we shall see Him as He is. There our songs will catch the inspiring theme, and praise and thanksgiving will go up to God. Societal distinctions should become contemptible. The cross of Calvary should make the distinctions of society fade away and become contemptible. If the Lord is so gracious as to accept sinners from the white race, and forgive their sins, holding out to them the assurance of the higher life, the hope of a place in the redeemed family when He comes in the clouds of heaven, and the righteous dead rise from their grave to meet Him, will He not accept sinners from the black race, and will He not forgive their sins? Does He not hold out to them the same hope that He holds out to the white race? Will He not, if they believe on Him, receive them as His sons and daughters? Will He not raise them from ignorance and degradation by the working out of His plan? Does He not, through the instrumentality of the more favored white race, who claim to be children of the same Father, wish to uplift and ennoble them? Quoted in Racial separation is not permanent. Walls of separation have been built up between the whites and the blacks. These walls of prejudice will tumble down of themselves, as did the walls of Jericho, when Christians obey the Word of God, which enjoins on them supreme love to their Maker and impartial love to their neighbors. Let every church whose members claim to believe the truth for this time look at this neglected, downtrodden race, that as a result of slavery have been deprived of the privilege of thinking and acting for themselves. We dare not ignore existing racial prejudice. I am burdened, heavily burdened, for the work among the colored people. The gospel is to be presented to the downtrodden Negro race. But great caution will have to be shown in the efforts put forth for the uplifting of this people. Among the white people in many places there exists a strong prejudice against the Negro race. We may desire to ignore this prejudice, but we cannot do it. If we were to act as if this prejudice did not exist, we could not get the light before the white people. We must meet the situation as it is and deal with it wisely and intelligently. The work must not be hindered through prejudice caused by national customs. There must be a firm determination on the part of our laborers to break with the established customs of the people whenever it is essential to the advancement of the work of God. The work might be much farther advanced in Europe if some of those who have embraced the truth were not so wedded to the habits and customs of nationalities. They plead that the efforts of our ministers must be made to conform to these customs and prejudices, or nothing will be accomplished. This has had a binding influence upon the work from its commencement. The effort that has been made to conform to English customs, to eat and drink English, to dress and sleep English, has circumscribed the work, and it is now years behind what it might have been. The effort to keep bound about by French customs and ideas has hindered the work in France. My heart aches as I hear our brethren say, "Such an one does not understand how to labor for these nationalities. Does not God know what the people need? And will he not direct his servants? Is not the truth one? Are not the teachings of the Bible one? Let God give his messengers the word to speak, and his blessing will not fail to attend their labors." We must not build up separate interests between different nationalities, I felt urged by the Spirit of God throughout the meetings to impress upon all the importance of cultivating love and unity. I tried to present the danger of building up separate interests between different nationalities,